As I'm quite sure you're aware of, these are times of great jeopardy on the planet that you inhabit. And as always happens at a time of such extremities, those who have some balance in the positive sense of more light than dark within their consciousness take it upon themselves to incarnate and to play whatever positive role they can in the bringing about of some kind of balance, if possible, at the time. They are called the light bearers, the bearers of the light. And it simply means ones who in their psyche have had enough positive input. You are a light bearer, as is your wife, as is the woman, as is all the people in this home. They are simply those whose consciousness has an overabundance of the light, although they are not perfectly clear. They still have residue, karmic understandings and relationships that must be cleared, darknesses that they have not yet had the courage or the desire to pull into the light. But there's so much more light inhabits their psyche than dark that we call them the light bearers. It simply means that they have an opportunity of grasping and seeing the truth of the vision and carrying it forward. And this is indeed easier. It is much more worthwhile and easier to work with the bearers of the light because they always respond much more quickly to whatever you can do for them because the balance is there.
Okay, next question then. How can we heal light bearers? I gather this was more a healing of the inner self to some extent more than the physical body.
What happens is that no matter who you are, when you take body form, it is extremely difficult to hold on to the light because the world is so much against it. I know it doesn't appear that way because the world has the sun and so on, but inside, the inner life of people is so filled with fear and difficulty that it is very difficult to hold that positive point of light. And people become discouraged. People, even the greatest light bearers, the Christ himself, there were times of discouragement. There is so much darkness, and they seem to be overwhelmed by it for times. And it is these times of low ebb that they need to have the physical ministrations, which also help, and that positive input of, yes, fine, we're on our way, things are being done, it's fine. That positive input behind it that reminds them, that recalls them to the vision that they came for at times of low, because it does happen with the woman and the man, for example. You've been a great help to them. At times of great difficulty saying, yes, well, we're behind you, what can we do? It's this kind of healing that ends up helping all of you to move ahead, each with the other. But it is also exterior. Sometimes nothing is better for them than to just have the helpful ministrations on the earth plane of the body form. You see, that at some times is precisely what is necessary. So they can relax and soothe there in the calm state.
Just a place to come.
Exactly. Exactly. But I do ask you to move ahead on this as rapidly as you can. I wanted to share with you some of the perhaps a more expanded view of the other states of so-called living that would be, I think, best represented in your work.
I'd be so grateful because I've never been, I mean, I don't remember.
Yes, you have, and this is the problem. All right, I would like, having read the manuscript through the eyes of a woman, I would commend you on it. I would suggest a little more attention to mundane details, and I will, when I put this forward, this is only suggestions. I would not dream of intruding on the rights of the creative abilities of anyone. It is simply that the time is grave, the message is important, and we must use what we can. Therefore, I would suggest to you that when your selected wise person returns to his home planet, that this be a type of return, that he moves into his home planet filled with the sorrows of his inabilities to to make changes, that he states frankly within his mind that he knows that the time is short unless changes are made of a sweeping nature, and that his heart is heavy because he is not at all sure that the human consciousness will be able to make that change in time. Now, if you wish a picture of an evolved planet, I will give you one. At the heart of every planet of any stature in the spiritual realm at all, there is an area found within the center of that planet. I do not mean in its environs, I don't mean in itself, but on somewhere located in a central, where you would find your marketplace, where you would do your business as the center of your city. At the center of a evolved planet is the temple of the wise ones. They are always located on rises so that they can be seen by the entire populace surrounding the area as far as the eye can see, and their eyes move toward that structure, which is located as the days of the Parthenon in old Greece, where everyone, no matter who they were, could cast their eyes up and always be able to remember. The structure on the planet that I have selected to talk with you, as you walk up the very wide and white stairs, you move into an immense courtyard. It is understood without question that when you enter that courtyard, you have no speech necessary, because all high thought on high planets is known to come through instant communion. You do not need to speak at all. And therefore, who you are is perfectly evident without saying anything. And thus is a great gift. A great gift, because there is no time for nonsense, because everything is seen, do you understand? Instantly perceived. Therefore, these large courtyards are used simply for communing, in the deepest sense of communing, and they sit all about them. The water usually plays. You have to understand that what the Western world has used as an audacious use of water, just for simply to show wealth and spewing forth in great fountains of water, water is one of the greatest symbols of purification and enlightenment. Indeed, on many of the high planets, it itself is the greatest symbol of oneness presented. Instead of a drink of bourbon or beer or whatever, the gift that unites two, with tea, coffee, what is it? It is this clear elixir. There is always water in varying forms, in pools, because you understand that on higher planets, most of them are able to look within things such as water surfaces and see playing within them certain reflections of their own awareness, seen in the quietude of the pond. And they are able then to ask themselves, they come with a question within their being, what is the answer? And they move quietly and they sit about these things. I know this may sound bizarre, but it is done, easily done. They simply sit there and they do not go to anyone and say, tell me, because they know the power is within themselves, and they sit upon this and they get deeply within themselves, and then they bring forward their questing, and the symbols simply reappear, because you know you do have this ability to make things appear and disappear, although you have no idea that you have it. And simply quietly the answer will appear within the formation of this water substance. Now, when a deep counsel is necessary, as would be the case if your story were in truth, what would happen is that all of these persons would come into this outer courtyard and spend a time, which is a requirement, to spend a time in the exterior courtyard until such time as within their being the movement arose that it was now time to go into the inner sanctuary. And at that time, spontaneously, one at a time, it may be many, many so-called hours separating each one to have their readiness to go into the sanctuary. And there is no one who calls you and says, now it is your time. That is an inner call. When you know that you are in a state of readiness to receive, then you yourself go quietly into the inner sanctuary. There are no guardians on the threshold of these great temples. Just simply your own awareness tells you whether you have calmed your external to such an extent that you will be able to benefit, and you do not go in until you are. This is an inner thing. You see, you understand, no one tells you what to do in the other planets because you have come into awareness that you have the capacity and the power to share and to know and to become whatever it is. So then there is a movement out of this courtyard, quietly and obtrusively. Over the courtyard is the great vault of the blue. Understand that in most of the planets, it is not these strange, mysterious colors. It is blue. It is the color of the universal one, is the blue, and it is there. It covers the so-called heavenly vault of all of the planets. It's the same intense blue. The intensity differs with various conditions, but it is so. The main colors are the blue and the white. These are the main colors that you will find in most of those who are in a higher state of awareness. They choose to wear these colors, and they also choose to think upon them because they have the balance that is necessary. So when they arise and move in, the room to which they go is always shaped in a circular formation. As they move into this area, they have now come with the compelling problem that needs to be settled. Understand, not a word is spoken. There is no need to speak on things. There is one thing in your book that I would suggest that you not have, and this is as you wish it. I do not think that you should have the figure of the Christos, the one that speaks. I feel that you will lose people who have a very different idea and a very, you understand. And I feel that in order to be as universal as we can, if we limit it in this way, I think we will run into some degree of difficulty. Because most people who believe in the Christ believe he's dead anyway. Dead is dead, and everybody knows that. So my own feeling would be that it would be less if you could find someone. However, when deep seekers and deep servers come into union, they move into this room. And now here again, you must understand that the thing that I would ask you to bring forward is the intensity, whereas humans are used to looking at physical surroundings to bring forward intensity. In the higher realms, it is the very air itself that has the intensity necessary. I am telling you that the air itself takes on a hue. Whereas, do you understand? This is when the sun comes in, all glows within the beams of that sun. Do you understand? You see particles. So is it in the higher areas of consciousness, the very air itself takes on a hue. And when someone is in a dark and difficult state, the air about them has a hue. I mean, this is true with you right now, but you just don't see it that way. But on the higher levels, it is very easily perceived. And the deep centers of deep truth, the very air, if you will, itself is filled with a coloration. And the color of this particular one that we are speaking of is a very, very pale blue merging to a very pale violet. It fluctuates between these two hues. Now, when they come in, before they walk into the doorway, they go within, they leave behind all their mind. It's so attuned to how to do this that it drops away. The mental imagery that they have now been working with and trying to understand drops away at the door. This is something they're greatly trained for. It's very simple to do. And they are just ready for the new awareness. Understanding that maximum can only come through perfect clarity, which means perfect stillness. So all of that is left behind. And they walk in. In some of the planets, there will be a person, a lofty one, who will be there to speak in the physical. I would leave that to your choice. In the higher planets, no one needs to be there, because the very air itself carries the understanding. So when all of these seekers come together in quietude and seat themselves upon the floor, and then they wait, and they will wait as long as it takes. And if it takes what you would call 2 days, then they will wait 2 days. It is irrelevant. When seeking real wisdom, you do not put a time limit on divine understanding. You simply wait. And when the necessary coming together of the wisdom has taken place through all of the receiverships of all of the instruments in this room, out of their own awareness and the awareness that is imbued around them comes the answer. If there were different people there, the answer would be different, because the instruments are those who will carry it out. And therefore, it has to be in perfect harmony. The instrument, the wisdom, and the event must come together at that moment. And then you know, and then they know. And they do not say a word. And I would ask that you make this clear, because I think that the more humans can understand that they can solve their higher problems in the same way, the sooner we will break through some of this residue of verbal misunderstanding and difficulty. Because you do commune on the highest level first. That is where the real union takes place. And so if you could have your figures, and I would ask that you have some women. The real hallmark of a true student of a higher order is that it is difficult for you to say whether they are male or female, because of the tremendous balance between the two in them. And they will sometimes seem very masculine and sometimes seem very feminine. It is only because at some time one form of energy is needful, and then in the next another one is needful. And a true student of the higher teaching always is able to play through both of these roles with equal movement. However you wish to do it, and they will sit, and I assure you that the room is austere. By that I mean there is no sideboard with this and that, and there are never mirrors of the kind that you have contrived. So, in the quietude, each one knowing within their being that they are seeking the salvation of the planet. And the question is, how can this be done? And how can I aid in this? And then in the quietude of however long you wish to make it, they sit in quiet patience, in quiet and firm knowing that the answer will be imminent. In the center of the room, in the dome-shaped ceiling, there's always a hole. It is always left open. It is never closed. And it will reflect down into the center of the building. And they always would sit around it, as you would your fires in the middle of a circle, which is another replica of a great remembrance of times past. But you simply sit around.
This is a shaft of light.
A shaft of light that goes and comes through. And as they visualize upon this light, as the changings of the day and the night move in certain harmonies, those who in those groups, some are attuned to the physical, to the observing through the eye, to the visual, they will observe certain understandings symbolically. Others are not in that frame. They will go within and they will use other pieces of equipment of their own physical. We are assuming that these are physical beings, not necessarily with exactly the same physical, but I think we must not be too far out. We must not have, you know, particles of light being the only substance. We will lose your audience. You must have some bridge of polarity of understanding. And please, no green ears and ugly countenance, because understand, beauty is a universal understanding. And And it is not possible for you to look upon a highly evolved person and find them hideous to behold. Beauty has its own understanding, and you would only find them more beautiful, not less. Therefore, in their own way, each in their own makeup, which is an individual thing, they will come into union with what they know to be the maximum answer. And then quietly, at the given time, when they all feel the surety within their being that they know their job and they know they are capable of carrying it out, then they rise. Never is any kind of touching or speaking done in an inner temple. Ever. Why not the touching? Simply because each one has the necessity to polarize around their own physical form, their own particular destiny. You stand together, you have the same function, yet you will go one way, he will go another, you another. Do you see? These are all individual, although one. Do you see? And when you move, you see, you do not have to embrace in order to be totally one. And there is no feeling of separation. And it's, the thing that needs to be conveyed as possible is the absolute, almost tactical substance of the movement within that room. It is as if you knew that there was a reality impinging upon you, and in it, its upliftment, its upholdment. If you could give word to the feeling that overcomes one to be in an absolutely loving, uplifting, and protective vibrational understanding that embraces you and upholds you and nurtures you all at the same time, that nurtures you and opens your vision and at the same time is so very personal. Do you see? What is needful is to understand that the vastness also contains the individualization. So many people fear the vastness because they are afraid they will be lost, whereas actually it is so intensely personal. And if you can somehow convey in this room that wonderful feeling of protection that comes from such an experience. And then they rise quietly, each in their own way, and they leave. If you wish to have him return to his dwelling, the dwellings are very simple and very open. Open to the light, open to the elements. Most lighter, higher planets have this openness to them. They do not have to have windows such as you do. They simply have openness where the movement moves easily, freely, completely through. They are quiet planets because there is no need for this tremendous chattering of voice and machinery and so forth, because thought is the implement which makes things move. I would suggest, if you are at all drawn toward it, that when it comes time for him to guide those who he selects on the planet, that it be made absolutely clear that this can be done by the power of thought transference. Because it is possible. And if you choose to have a vehicle of a human to receive this information, I think you will be helping us. Because as I said before, all over the planet are people now going to be hearing some words which will hopefully ignite them to greater service for the one understanding. Have I left out anything?
Yes, as far as I'm concerned, because I started this just groping and wildly out in my imagination picking up whatever I said. Is it your feeling that the people from whatever planet and would come in human disguise or in thought form from their planet to guide the channels and the speakers on Earth?
Are you asking which I think is more likely to really happen?
Yes.
With all seriousness, both are possible. With all seriousness,
I think this is a very
both are possible. I would say that you will have a much more likely audience if you do it by thought transference, but I would ask you to check that out with the other human entities. I would say that it's much more likely for a human to understand that you can learn through thought transference than to ever have them face the reality that their world can be impinged upon at any time by other physical entities. It's very simple to do. It is very simple to do. You see, once again, you have this idea of separated universe and somehow your globe is separated from others being able to appear. Nonsense! Nonsense! It is just nonsense. But, you know, once again, you have this isolated idea. We cannot send great bearers of the light into your presence. It would kill you out of fear. How did you get here? How did you get through our defenses? What have you done? What's happening? You know, never once saying, oh, my God, did you come to help? That won't be the question. The question is, my God, how did you get here? And what are we going to do with you? It would be all in the reverse. It would be very much in the reverse. But I will tell you in frankness that it is very likely. And if things continue in the bizarre way that they are, there will be more and more need for a serious consideration of this kind. It has been done before, and it can be done again. But I do not wish to speak of these things. They are totally cosmology and occult and so forth. But the fact is that if you know that there is a part of your township that is in jeopardy, you will send people into that township to do what they can. And they may be thrown out, they may not be heard, they may be persecuted, but you will send them. You will not cease to go simply because they will not welcome you. You will do what you must do. If a part of your town has the plague, the doctors go. They know they could die, but they go. And so is it with the life heirs. They will come. Some are here. You may never know them. You may never know them. But if you're paying attention, you will know them. Because they will be just a bit different. Just a bit less likely to be judgmental. Just a little more likely to have a joyful yet serious intent. There are ways to tell. And I promise you that if things continue, they will need to come. And at that time they will appear. So I would leave that entirely up to you. If it works better for you in one form or another, then use whichever is most useful to you. But I do feel that there should be as much understanding as possible of the urgency of things. It might be useful, my friend, for her to, if she has not already, to read the book that you were reading.
Very good.
I can't remember the name of it, though.
Alternative 3.
Have you understood this book? I think it would be helpful for her to at least have begun to read it. It is one of the difficulties that lie before the planet. Only one. So, out of that, if you can use that as sort of a background for why the urgency, then it will have some kind of balance. It will have a place of hanging on to for others to make reference back to.